Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is the very last daf of the first parak and the first daf of the second parak of Masechta Babasra. Babasra daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on daf Tes Zayin on Beis. We are at the very bottom of the page. Tanu Rabbanan on the last line of the page. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and the Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely, and also by my dear friend Henry Orlinsky, Lizeh Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Leah Baschayim Ashra Cohen, who survived Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and lost her family and rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah Mitzros from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh, Modiim to Bergen County, and Passaic to Lakewood, and Shir Shamash Evan Aliyah from the Mitzvos and Maisim Tovim and Talmud Torah of all of her wonderful descendants. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we are going to discuss today is, first we're going to finish up the first part of Masechta Babasra by going through five different special madrigos that were only achieved by a small group of people, and almost all of those madrigos were achieved by a group that included Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's going to bring us all the way to the end of the first parak. And then we're going to begin the second parak, which is going to discuss precautions that one needs to take in their own property to make sure that they're not damaging somebody else on their property. The Gemara is going to have two versions of a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, whether one is allowed to dig a bar right on the border when the neighbor doesn't have a bar right there. So are you allowed to dig without being marchik? Machlokas, Abaye and Rava, two versions of that machlokas, and many, many rayas in that machlokas. Those rayas are going to go well into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin daf Tes Zayin on Beis at the bottom of the page. Tanu Rabbanan. So says the Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. Shlosha etimen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'almazeh me'ein olam haba. There are three people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them in this world something that is similar to olam haba. And elu hein Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. It's the three of us. How do I know that? Because by each of them we find the term kol used in describe their bracha, which implies that they were not missing anything from the goodness that Olam Hazeh has to offer. Avram, d'chsiv bei, that Hashem beirchs Avram bakol. Yitzchak, d'chsiv bei, that he was ba'achal mikol. Yaakov, d'chsiv bei, it says v'chiyeshli kol. So you see, bakol, mikol, kol. So they all have the term kol that is associated with them. It doesn't mean that they didn't weren't missing out on any kashmiyistik hana'ah, because they went through lots. They went through a lot of tzaras. What it means is, based on how the Tzlach explains the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, that olam chatira b'chayecha, that a person will achieve a certain simcha in their avodas Hashem that's me'ein the simcha of olam haba. The simcha of olam haba is tzadikim yoshem v'troseim b'roshayim that a person's avodas Hashem in this world will be so great that it will be akin to the experience of Olam Haba. Tosas raises the question, why doesn't the Braisa include Eov? We already said that after he would plow a field, immediately it would start growing, similar to Olam Haba, in Olam Haba there's Hirayon and Leida on the same day. So how come it's only Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov and not Eov? So Tosas suggests that Eov did not get Me'in Olam Haba in all areas. He only got Me'in Olam Haba in that one area, whereas Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had a Me'in Olam Haba in entirely. So that's how Tosos deals with that question. So that's the first category. Second category, back in the Gemara, Shlosha Lo Sholop and Yetzer Hara. There are three that were not overpowered by the Yetzer Hara. Eluhein, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Dichsivu, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. And that's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because once again it says Bakol, Mikol, Kol. So we learn from those words that Kadosh Baruch Hu was manchil them in Olam Hazeh, me'ein Olam Haba, and in Olam Haba there is no shlita of the Yetzer Hara. So this is related to the first limud, that just like they experienced Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh, and so too, just like there's no Yetzer Hara in Olam Haba, they didn't experience a Yetzer Hara in Olam Hazeh. Tosis points out, it cannot mean that they didn't have a Yetzer Hara at all, because then what's the whole point of life? The whole point of life is to have Bechir Chavshis and to overcome the Yetzer Hara. No, but it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they worked so hard to be marked themselves from Avera that he helped them to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So they put all of their energies into defeating the Yetzer Hara until they actually did. They defeated the Yetzer Hara. V'yeshom av David. Some say David belongs in this group as well. D'chsiv v'libi chalal b'kirbi. That the Yetzer Hara was a chalal. It died inside of him. V'idach, and the Tana that only includes Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and does not include David. Tzari d'kamitkar says that David was not saying that he didn't have Yetzer Hara. He was expressing tzar, that his heart was like it was dead inside of him because of all the tzaros that he experienced. The third special group of people, Tana Rabbanon, Shisha lo shalat ben malach hamaves. There are six people that the malach hamaves was not able to overpower, and rather they died with the misas neshika. Ve'elu hein, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, d'chsiv b'hu, ba'kol mikol kol. So we see that they were not missing anything in this world, and since we find that there were other people that died with misas neshika, it means that any benefit, any pleasure that anybody else got, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov also must have gotten, so they must have also died with the misas neshika. And Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, d'chsiv b'hu al pi Hashem, because Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, their deaths were described as being al pi Hashem. That tells me that it was a neshika from the Shechina. Says Gemara, v'ar Miriam lo k'siv b'al pi Hashem, but if you look in the Pesukim, it doesn't say by Miriam that she died al pi Hashem. So how can you say that she died b'neshika? So I'm Rav Lazar, Miriam nabi b'neshika mesa, das yasham shami Moshe. We know that Miriam died b'neshika because we learn from Gzeira Shava, from Misas Moshe, that it says vayamas shom Moshe eved Hashem, and it says by Miriam, vatamas shom Miriam. Ma lo nemar b'al pi Hashem. Why doesn't the Torah spell it out by Miriam the way it does by Moshe and Aaron? Shekinayah dover lomar, because it seems like inappropriate to describe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving a neshika to a woman. So it only alludes to it rather than saying it explicitly. And then a fourth special group of people, Tana Rabbanan. Shiva lo shalat behen rima vitoleya. There are seven people that their bodies were not eaten by worms in their normal decomposition of a body after death. Ve'elu hein Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, u'Binyamin ben Yaakov. And we add Binyamin to the group. Tosfos raises the kasha. What do you mean? Don't you hear stories all the time about people that don't have, that their bodies don't decompose and what?
Ready.
The different rabbis, let's say, and other people, that their bodies don't decompose. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos tells us that the Varekav Atzomos Kina, that someone who had Kina Belibo, so then his bones are going to decompose, but someone who never had Kina Belibo, his bones are not going to decompose. So these are the only seven people in history that never had Kina Belibo? So Tosa says, no, it could be that the guf of a person will not decompose, but nevertheless, even though their guf is still intact, but there will still be worms all over it. The Gemara in Bamit says Rabbi Shimon that his body didn't decompose, but a worm came out of his ear. So you see that there were our Gemara is talking about, not only did they not decompose, there were no worms anywhere near their bodies, that they were pristine. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, d'chsivu b'akol mikol kol. So anything that there is to benefit from, they benefited from. Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, d'chsivu al pi Hashem. So since they died b'misas neshika, someone who dies b'misas neshika is not going to attract worms. The attraction of worms only comes from that little bit of poison that the Malach HaMavis drips from his sword onto a person when he kills him, but they didn't die from the Malach HaMavis. And Binyamin ben Yaakov, how do I know that he didn't have any worms? D'chsivu Binyamin Amar Yedid Hashem Yishkol Nevetach Alav. So we darshan that Binyamin is going to be Yishkol Nevetach in his kever without any chashash of any worms, because he was so close and so affiliated with the Shechina. Yesham Af David. Some add David to the list. D'chsiv Af Bisari Yishkol Nevetach. That David says that my basar is going to be fully secure. The Idach, and the other opinion that did not include David, that David was davening for that. He wasn't saying that he was guaranteed that. He was hoping for such a result. And then the final group of people, Tana Rabbanan, Arba Mesu Be'et Yoshel Nachash. There are four people that died because of what the Nachash did. They didn't really deserve to die. They never sinned in their entire lives, but there was a Gzeiros Misa on all of humanity because of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, and that's why these people died. Not because of anything they did. They never sinned, but only because of the Gzeiros Misa on all of humanity. Ve'elu Hein, who are the people that never sinned? Binyamin ben Yaakov, Ve'amram Avi Moshe, Ve'yishai Avi David, Ve'kilav ben David. It's an interesting thing. It's a famous Maamar Chazal that there are certain people that died without ever sinning. But if you ask people with a full yeshiva education who know all this trivia, who are the four people that died without ever sinning? Very few will be able to name all four for you. Why will very few be able to name all four for you? They can name you the Yeshpizan like that, right? How come they can't name you this? So the reason is, if you look carefully, none of these are the main characters of the story. None of these are the people that you would expect them to be. And the Bali Musar point out, out, and that's bedavka, right? If a person never faltered, he's likely never going to be a great, great leader, meaning he's never going to maximize his leadership capacity. That it's mostly from failing and overcoming failure that a person becomes a great, great leader. So these are people that never, ever failed, and that's why that they're each identified by the person they were associated with, who was indeed the great leader, right? It was Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, Kilav ben David. They never personally sinned, but perhaps because of that, they were second fiddle, so to speak, obviously, you know, on their madriga. V'kulu Gemara, says Gemara, all of these that we just listed, we don't know it from the Pesukim, we just have a Kabbalah that this is the case. Levari mi Yishai Avi David, the Mefarish Bekra, except for Yishai Avi David, where it's in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk Shmuel Beis says, Ves Amasa Sam Avshalom Tachas Yoav Alatzava, the Amasa Ven Ish Ushmo Yisra Yisraeli, Asher Ba Elavi Gail Bas Nachash, Achostruya Eim Yoav. What? That's a lot of family tree drawing right there in that Pasuk. That's a big word soup with that would be better off in a drawn family tree. So what it's saying is that Avshalom appointed as his general Amasa ben Yisra. Yisra was the husband of Avigail Bas Nachash. Avigail was the sister of Tzruya. She was the mother of Yoav. So v'chi Bas Nachashi, was she the daughter of Nachash? V'lo Bas Yishai, she was the daughter of Yishai. Avigail was the daughter of Yishai, because the Pasuk says about the children of Yishai, v'achyosayhem Tzruya v'Avigail, that the sons of Yishai had two sisters, Tzruya and Avigail. So Avigail was the daughter of Yishai. Why is she called Bas Nachash? Ella Bas mi shemeis be'etir shal Nachash. She was the daughter of the one who died only on account of the chet of the Eitz Hadas, only on account of the etir shal Nachash. So now, Hadron Alach Hashutafin, now we begin the second parak of Maseches Basra, and this parak discusses Harchakos Nezikin, things that a person has to do in his own property to make sure that he doesn't damage in someone else's property. So this Mishnah discusses how a person has to make sure that his bar doesn't damage his neighbor's bar or his neighbor's kosel. Lo yachbar adam bar samach lebar shel chaveru. A person is not allowed to dig a bar right next to, right near his friend's bar. Velo siach, velo shiach, velo ma'ara, velo amas hamayim, velo nivrechas kofsin, nor any other type of digging that you would do in the ground. Shiach and ma'ara are other types of boros that just have a different shape than a regular bar. An amas hamayim is what you would use to water a field, and a nivrechas kofsin is a pool of water that you would use to do the laundry. So you're not allowed to dig any of these ditches or holes in the ground near your friend. Unless you're marchik three tvachim from your friend's bar, visad basid, and you also seal it with some sort of plaster, with some sort of lime, in order that it doesn't damage your friend's bar. There is a machlokes rishonim why a person has to be marchik from baro shel chavero. Rashi writes because a chafira smucha lebar is machleshes koslea bar umerapa osan, that it's going to weaken the walls of the bar. It will cause them to crumble. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara on Amud Beis that we're going to see today, where it says that the Baal Bar Kataina to the neighbor who wants to dig a bar right next to his bar, that kol maru umaru de kamachias kamarafis lala arai, that every shovel that you stick in the ground, every time it makes another, you bang into the ground, it weakens my bar. So it sounds exactly like Rashi. Tosas proves from the Gemara later on in Daf Yotes that the reason for the hezek is not because of the digging itself that weakens the bar, but the moisture. All of these holes in the ground aren't just holes in the ground, they're holes in the ground that have water in them, and we know the kind of damage that water can do. So so that's the real issue over here. Tosas discusses how to read that Gemara that we're going to have on other days. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Umarchikin es hagefes ves hazevel ves hamelach ves hasid ves hasloim mikol shel chaver shel shetvachim. We distance the sediment, the leftover of olive pressing, that's gefes, zevel of behemos, right, the animal manure which was, it used to be used to fertilize fields. Maybe it's still used to fertilize fields, although someone sent me a shaila today that they wanted to know about the kashrus of a scotch that was made with sheep dung smoke. This whiskey was smoked with sheep dung, and they advertise it on the bottle in big letters, and that's supposed to be attractive to people. I don't know. In case you're wondering if the world has gone crazy. So marchikinus against vesa zevel, vesa melech, and the salt, vesa seed, vesa sloim. The sloim are like flint stones, not like the cartoons that you make fire from. Mikosel shel chaveru shlosha tvachim. You have to distance it from your friend's kosel three tvachim, so that the wall doesn't get ruined from the heat that these items generate. Visad besid, and also you have to. You have to plaster the wall with sid so that the kosel doesn't get ruined from the heat. So it's sort of like a heat repellent sealant that you put on the wall. Marchikenes hazra'im, and you have to distance your plants, ves hamachresha, and your plowing, ves meraglayim, and any urine, minakosel, shloshu tfachim, also three tfachim away from the wall, because the zra'im and the machresha will cause, the digging will weaken the foundations of the wall, and the meraglayim will cause the bricks to start disintegrating, because the bricks are made of tit that's dried up, and the tit is going to moisten and it's going to disintegrate. Umarchikinas harechayim, one has to distance his mill from his friend's wall. How far? Well, there are two parts to a mill. There's an upper stone and a lower stone, and the lower stone is wider, provides a wider base, and the upper stone is a little narrower. So how far are you marchik the mill? Shlosha min hashechev, shein arba'a min harechev. Three tvachim from the lower stone. The lower stone's larger, so it protrudes out further, which becomes four tvachim from the upper stone, because the upper stone is one tefach less wide than the lower stone. Vesatanur, and your oven you have to distance from your friend's kosel. Shlosha min hakalya, three tvachim from the base of the oven. Shein arba'a min asafa, which is four tvachim from the upper part of the oven, which is narrower by one tefach, because that heat that's going to come from it might damage the wall, and therefore you have to make sure that whatever you're doing in your property is not going to damage your neighbor's wall. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah discussed any diggings that you do in your own karka, mostly that holds water. Then it discussed heat emitting things that you need to keep away from the kosel, and then it discussed plants and plowing and meraglayim, and then finally it discussed multi-part kalim, whether it be a mill or whether it be an oven. So you have to have it three tvachim away from the part that's closest to the wall, which is four tvachim away from the part that's a little narrower, that's further from the wall. Okay, so now the Gemara explains a stira in the lashon of the Mishnah, or points out rather a stira in the lashon of the Mishnah. Pasach bebar umesayim bekosel, that it starts out by saying lo yachbar adam bor samach lebaro shel chaveiro. You shouldn't dig a bar. I'm sorry, samach leboro shel chaveiro, close to your friend's bar, and then umesayim bekosel. It says unless you distance elam kenirchik min, you'd expect it to say min. Boro shel chavero, but it doesn't say that. It says alam kein hirchik min hakosel shel chavero shloshu tvachim. Well, what are you distancing from? Your neighbor's bar or your neighbor's kosel? It's very confusing. So answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye v'itim Rav Yehuda mikosel boro shaninu. It's telling us that you have to be marchik your wall your digging from the kosel of your friend's bar by three tvachim. And it's not, when we talk about a kosel, we're not talking about an above ground wall. We're talking about the wall of the bar that's underground, that's part of the bar. So while it sounds like we're talking about two different things, the first part of the Mishnah is really only talking about a bar. So ask the Gemara, if we're referring to a kosel bar, why do we change the lashon of the resha? Why do we change the lashon of the resha and we write a lashon of kosel? Listen, Yalim Kenyachik. Why not just keep it consistent? Say that you shouldn't dig a bar near your friend's bar unless you distance from his bar. His bar includes the kosel bar. So I understand what that means. Why do you have to change the terminology in mid-sentence and make it so confusing? So answer the Gemara, Hakamashmalan. The kosel bar shel shetvachim is teaching us a chiddush that a kosel bar is three tvachim, that you need to be marchik to make sure that you leave him three tvachim of a kosel bar. You can't go and just leave like a little narrow strip of dirt that holds his bar together, because that's going to cave in a second. He needs to have three tvachim of solid ground. That's considered the kosel bar. Nafkamina lemecha chamemkar. That's a big nafkamina for us, not only in our chakas nezikin, but in the dinim of mecha chamemkar. Ketetanya, homel chaveru bar v'kalsa animochar lecha. If a guy says, I'm selling to you the bar with its walls, tzorek sheya kosel, shlosh tvachim. then you need to include three tefachim worth of walls on all sides, all around the bar, because that's the space that's necessary for a kosel bar. So that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling me in that line. So now the Gemara is going to bring up the machlokas that's going to take up the rest of today's daf and much of tomorrow's daf. Itmar, here's the machlokas that was brought up in the Beis Medrash. Habo lismoch betzala meitzar. If someone is coming to put his bar right next to the border of his property with his friend's property. Now his friend on his side of the border doesn't have a bar. So are you allowed to put your bar right up against your friend's property? So Abaye yamar somech. Abaye says, no problem. You could put your bar right up against your friend's property. Rava amar eino somech. Rava says, no, you can't. You're not allowed to put it right next to the meitzar. You need to be marchik three tefachim in your own rishus and only dig there, but you cannot make the hole in the ground all the way up against the wall. So Abaye is the more mekel shita. He's the one that says you could be somech, the more mekel on the guy who wants to dig his bar, machmir on the neighbor, and Rava is the more machmir shita. He says you have to distance three tefachim before you dig the bar. So now we're going to have two versions of what the case is that they're having machlokas, meaning, is there an expectation that the neighbor himself will one day want to dig a bar? And by you digging the bar right up on the property line, you're actually going to cramp his style a little bit, because now he's not going to be able to dig a bar where he otherwise would have. Now he's going to have to distance a little further. Or are we talking about the type of place where there's no expectation that he's ever going to want to dig a bar? And if there's no such expectation, you didn't really cramp his lifestyle too much, unless he does something weird and he decides to dig a bar, just like you did something weird and decided to dig a bar. So says Gemar Besada Asuya Liboros Divrei Akol Eino Somech. This machlokas is not about a place where a person would be expected to dig a bar. If that were the case, then everyone would agree with Rava that you need to distance. You're not allowed to put your bar right up on the property line when it's a sada that's Asuya Liboros, when it's understood that he will very likely one day want to dig a bar as well. The whole machlokas Abaye and Rava is when it's a field that you do not expect them to want to dig a bar. Abaye Yomer Somich. Abaye says, you could, the neighbor of the field could put his bar right up against the border, because it's not made for any boros, so I'm not damaging you at all, because there's no expectation whatsoever that you're ever going to want to dig a bar, so what am I doing? I'm not doing anything wrong. Tosus in Dibra Maskel Abaye, that's not enough information. In the first Dibra Maskel Abaye, there are three Tosus in a row over here, Abaye, Abaye, and Le Abaye. So in the first, as we said, the rest of the daf is all going to be about this Machlok, Abaye and Rava, so it's not so surprising. So in the first Dibra Maskel Abaye, Tosus asks, why does Abaye allow the first guy to put his bar right up on the Meitzar, even though he's not costing the his neighbor his own ability to make a bar, because the neighbor's not going to make a bar, but he's costing him other damage, because if the other guy wants to plant a tree in his property, now he has to go a little bit further, because the halacha is that you're not allowed to plant a tree within 25 amos of your neighbor's bar. So if my bar were three tefachim in on my own property, he would only have to distance his tree 24 amos and three tefachim from the property line. Now that my bar goes right up against the property line, now he has to distance his tree 25 amos from the property line. So I am cramping his style a little bit. I'm taking away his ability to plant a tree within a certain three tefach area. So Tosfos says, yeah, that's not considered hazik, because the bar is not being mazik the ilan. It's the reason that a bal hi ilan has to be marchik when he plants a tree, it's because the ilan's going to be mazik the bar. So we always have to be mindful of who the mazik is and who the nizik is. When I dig a bar, I'm being mazik my friend's bar, because it's weakening the karka, it's bringing moisture to the area, all those things. But when I have a bar and you're planting a tree 25 amos away, my bar is doing nothing to your tree, but your tree might do something to my bar. So that's not called that I'm being mazik you by the fact that you have to plant your tree a few tefachim further away. That's how Tosfos explains. But anyway, so the machlokas in the first version is, we're talking about a sada she'ena asuya liboros, and therefore Abaye says, no problem, put it right up on the property line. It's ena asuya liboros. But Rava amar eno somech. Rava says, you cannot put it right up on the property line. Damarle, because your neighbor could say to you, I know it's not the minig in this neighborhood to dig a bar. You're the first guy that dug a swimming pool in your yard, right? We don't live in a neighborhood where people do that. But it just like you did it, maybe I'm going to want to do it. So even though we live in the North Pole, and it's weird to put a swimming pool in your yard when you live in the North Pole, but if you did it, maybe I'm going to want to do it too. So therefore, the guy can have a taina that he doesn't want it so close to the property line. Ikadamni, another version of the machlokas is besad shein asuya leboros, that the call somech, that if it's a field that's ein asuya leboros, then there's no machlokas. Then everyone would agree to abaye, that you can be somech, that you can put it right up on the property line. Keep ligi, the whole machlokas abaye and rav is besad ha'asuya leboros, is when it's a field that is asuya leboros, that is made for boros. Abaye yomer somech, so abaye says the neighbor could put it right next to the borderline. Afil Rabbanan, and that's even going according to the Rabbanan, to Amri, Marchik and Asila min Abar Esum Chamesh Amma, who say that you need to be Marchik a tree from a bar by 25 Amos, that if you want to plant a tree in your property, you need to distance it 25 Amos from your neighbor's bar in order that the roots of the tree do not destroy the Kosle Abar. And we can learn from that a person has to be Marchik B'tok Shalo in order not to be Mazik what's going on in his neighbor's property. But they're going to be Moda that you're allowed to put a bar right up on the property line, because Hasamu, when it comes to a tree where you need to be marked, that's because the Be'ino de Kanata Isal Bar. When you're planting the tree, your neighbor already has a bar. So it's called that you're doing damage. Aval Hacha, but in our case, where you're digging a bar right up on the border, Be'ino de Kafar, less of a bar. In the place where you are digging, there is no bar right there, and therefore you're not considered to be the Mazik and the Chacham Ramoda that you don't need to be Marchik. V'Rava Amar, but Rava says in this version that again, when it's the whole machlok is only by a soda that's asuya leboros. So Rava says, Eino somich, you cannot put your bar right up on the property line. And afilu Rabbi Yossi, the Amar chover zechover b'tok shalo, v'zenoteh b'tok shalo. Even Rabbi Yossi, who thinks that a bala ilan doesn't have to distance his tree at all, he could just plant wherever he wants in his property, and no one could stop anybody else from doing what they want to do in their property. Yeah, hani mili hasam, that's only over there where the bala ilan doesn't have to be marchik to be in the kanata lesson l'shosh of demaskulei lebar, because at the time that he's planting, the roots that are one day going to damage the bar do not yet exist. They will one day grow and they will one day damage the bar. Aval hacha, but over here, when you're digging a bar right next to the border, Amar Le, the Bala Sada could say to his neighbor who's digging the bar, Kol mara umara de kamachis kamar basal arai. As you dig the bar, every shovel you put into the ground is weakening my bar. It's damaging my bar. And therefore, Rava would say that Eino Somech, even according, meaning what Rav and Abaye are both referring to over here, is that there is a machlokas tanaim when you're planting a tree, do you have to distance the tree from the borderline? So there's a natural tendency to want to say, oh, that must be very similar to the discussion about whether you're allowed to dig a bar on the border. So they're both saying, no, it's not the same discussion. Each one is saying, even the shita that you would think goes against me is really going like me when it comes to a bar. So Abaye says that you're allowed to put your bar right on the borderline, and even if you have to be marchik a tree, that's because when you have to be marchik a tree because the nizik is already there when you're planting a tree. Over here, when you're digging a bar, there's nothing on the other side yet, so there's no problem in digging the bar. And Rava is saying that even Rabbi Yossi holds that you don't have to distance a tree, that you could do whatever you want, plant a tree wherever you want, is going to agree to me you cannot dig a bar wherever you want, because when you're planting a tree, the damage that's going to come about from that tree is not here yet. The mazik's not there yet. Whereas by a bar, even though the nizik's not here yet, but the mazik is here already. As he's digging, every dig in the ground is weakening the ground. So maybe that's a good way to say it. That according to Abaye, what separates a bar from a tree is that by a bar, the nizik isn't here yet. And Rava says, no, what separates a bar from a tree is that by a bar, the mazik is already here. By a tree, the mazik isn't here yet. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Now we're going to start with the rayas. We're only going to get to a couple of rayas in today's daf, and then we'll continue in tomorrow's daf. So raya number one, Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Liach Radam Bar Samach Labar Shal Chaveru, you should not dig a bar next to your friend's bar. Taima di ikabar. It sounds like the only reason you're not allowed to dig a bar is because he already has a bar. But halek a bar, if the other guy does not yet have a bar, somich. So you could dig right up on the border. So bishlam lach lishna da amrit pesad shein asil bar zivrakal somich. If you assume that everyone would agree that if it's a field that's ein asuil baros, both Abaye and Rava would say you could dig right up on the border. So masni some pesad shein asuil baros. So then this mishnah makes perfect sense. It's talking about a field that's ein asuil baros. And everyone agrees that you're allowed to dig right up on the border because your neighbor is never going to put a bar there. But according to the first day that we said that when it's a field that's ein asuil baros, there's a machlokas, and in that case, Rava does not allow you to dig a bar right up on the property line. And certainly, when it's sada asuil baros, nobody allows you to dig a bar up on the property line. So bishlam la abaye nicha, abaye will work. We'll have a way to explain our Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah let you dig a bar when there's no bar yet on the other side? Because Abaye allows you to dig a bar on the property line when it's Ein Asuil Baros. Elo l'Rava Kasha. But Rava's going to have no way to explain the Mishnah. Because according to Rava, even if it's Sadash Ein Asuil Baros, you're not allowed to dig up to the property line. So how's Rava going to read our Mishnah according to the version of Rava, where he never allows you to go up to the property line? So answer Gemara, Amar Lecha Rava, Rava would respond to you, Hayit Mar Allah, remember what our Mishnah actually said, that Rama Bayavitim Ravido Mikosel Baroshanina. We explained our Mishnah to say that when the Tana says you have to be Marchik from the Kosel, it means that you have to be Marchik three Tfachim from the Kosel of the first guy's bar, meaning that the first guy apparently also had to be Marchik three Tfachim, which is the shear of a Kosel bar. So you can't prove anything from our Mishnah that you're allowed to put a bar right up on the borderline. Adarabah, the Mishnah is assuming that I have to be Marchik Mikosel Boro Shel Chavera, which means that when he dug, before I ever got there, he left three Tfachim. Why did he leave three Tfachim? Who would want to do that? He had to do that. And Rava says, that's exactly my shita, that you have to do that. And therefore, Rava defends himself. Ikada Amri, another version of a challenge from our Mishnah, is a challenge to Abaye. That some say that we bring our Mishnah, which says that you have to be Marchik Mivor Shel Chaver Shel Shel Tfachim, and then we bring the Itmar Allah, and we said about that, what we just quoted, that Amar Abaye Vitam Ravido Mikosel Bor Shoninu, they need to be Marchik from the Kosel Bor of the first guy, which means that even when the first guy dug his bor, he was Marchik three Tfachim. Ooh, so now Abaye is going to have trouble. Because why was the first guy Marchik three Tfachim? It must be that he had to be Marchik three Tfachim. Well, Bishlam al-Hach l'shnadam b'sada asuil baros d'vrakal eino samich. If you assume that when it's a sada asuil baros, all would agree that you have to be Marchik, even Abaye would agree you have to be Marchik, then fine. Masnisim b'sada asuil baros. Our Mishnah, which talks about the guy being Marchik, must be talking about a sada asuil baros, and that's why everyone agrees you have to be Marchik. Elahach l'shnadam b'sada asuil baros pligi. But if you hold that the machlokas is in a sada asuil baros, which means that in a sada she'en asuil baros, everyone agrees you don't have to be Marchik, and Abaye says even in a sada asuil baros you don't have to be Marchik, well, bishlam l'Rava nicha, Rava can explain the Mishnah ganz fine, because he's going to say that when it's a sada asuil baros you need to be Marchik. El Abaye kasha, but according to Abaye, even in a sada asuil baros you don't need to be Marchik. Well, if I don't need to be Marchik, why was this guy Marchik? If there's no case, not in the Sada Shein Asuil Baros, not in the Sada Hasuil Baros, that I have to be Marchik. There's not a single case that I have to be Marchik. Why in the case of our Mishnah do we assume that the first guy was already Marchik Shlosh Tfachim? So Amar Lecha Abaye, Abaye would respond to you, Masnishlan Shabal Achbar Basachas. You're assuming there was a first guy. We said that, don't dig a bar. When you dig a bar, make sure you're Marchik from the Kosel Boro Shel Chavero Shlosh Tfachim. So we reasonably assumed, Mikosel Boro Shel Chavero, that implies that my friend already had a bar, and now I'm being Marchik three Tfachim from his Kosel Bar. But maybe that's not what it's talking about. Maybe we're talking about a case where both neighbors came at the same time and they want to dig a bar. Now, everyone's going to agree that each one, there's no reason one of them should be allowed to go up to the property line and push the other guy an additional 3 tvachim into his property, right? Meaning, if they're both coming at the same time, they're both going to have to be marchik 3 tvachim from the property line. And that was the case of the Mishnah. But maybe in a chinami, if one of them came first, he could have dug the bar right up until the property line. But they didn't come first. So that is Abaye's rejection of the raya. One final raya for today. Tashema, the Gemara asks, from a brisa, from a Tosefta, that says as follows. If in between two fields you have Sela Habab Yadayim, you have a rock that is crumbles to the touch. The halach is zecho for bar mikan, zecho for bar mikan. Each one could dig a bar in his own rishos. Ze marchik shlosh tefachim besad basid, veze marchik shlosh tefachim besad basid. And each one of them has to be marchik 3 tefachim into his own rishos, and also to waterproof the area, to waterproof his chafira with sid, in order that it doesn't do damage to his neighbor. But you see from this Tosefta that even the first guy who dug the bar first still needs to be marchik 3 tefachim. And that's against Abaye, because Abaye holds that when you're first to the scene and you're the first one that wants to dig a bar, you don't need to be marchik. So answers the Gemara, no, Babi Yadayim Shiny. You have to pay attention to what the Tosefta said. Tosefta didn't just say that there was a border between the two properties. It said that it was a border that was Babi Yadayim, where the ground was extremely fragile, where when you touch it, it starts falling to pieces. Yeah, in such a case, you would need to be, even Abaye would say, you need to be marchik shlosh tefachim. But if you have normal ground, nah, that you don't need to be marchik shlosh tefachim. So that's an easy rejection of the raya against Abaye. In fact, it's such an easy rejection that the Gemara asks, it's too easy. Udkarila mai karila, meaning how do you bring a raya from such a brisa, which makes it very clear that it's sela hababi adayim. Don't you realize that obviously we're going to be a little more cautious about where you can dig because the ground is so soft? So the Gemara says that the Shoel apparently thought that everyone needs to be marchik 3 tvachim even in regular ground, even when it's not such fragile ground. But the reason that Tosefta picked a case of very soft ground is because Babi Yadayim Itzrichle, it tells me a chiddush in the case of Babi Yadayim, because Salka Dayit Chamin Kimin to Babi Yadayim Libay Nami Rav Chetfei. I might have thought that since it's Salah Babi Yadayim, you need an even greater amount of space. So come Ashmalan, therefore comes to tell me that you don't need a greater amount of space when it comes to Salah Babi Yadayim. So those are the first three rayas in this machlokas between Abaye and Rava. We're going to stop here because I got to speak to a visiting group from Camp Dora Golding. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue. Well, tomorrow is not going to be Shir, Shabbat. So Sunday afternoon, we'll do Monday's Daf. Right? That's the next one we'll be doing. Online, recording, in person, whatever. Okay, Sunday afternoon, Be'ezras Hashem. Have a great evening, everyone.